You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another live episode of the Quack Report with Nate and Carter. Nate, you're looking real choppy, but
already,
still
God
real,
damn it,
but still real good. You make really nice squares.
Thank you. I try, obviously, with my figure to have a bit more shape.
Yeah. Round just wasn't good enough anymore. Now you're going square.
It just reminds me, I think it was a Dane Cook comedy skit or just like thing that he had or whatever. And he was talking about like just that one guy from work basically. And he's like, how he described him, he's like, no, he's not round or anything like that, but he is shapes. Have you heard that one before though? Just like just that guy at work. If you haven't, I'll have to tell you later.
It sounds familiar, but yeah, I think it would have been a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, that's one of my favorite comedians, honestly, is Dane Cook.
Dane Cook?
He's fucking funny, man.
He was hilarious like, back in the day. I remember back in like elementary school, like elementary school, we would like go over to people's houses, like, you know, the kids where their parents like didn't give a shit what you did as long as it wasn't with knives or matches. We'd go over there and just watch Dane Cook for like hours on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, or that was even the time when like, for the $1.29, you bought the skit, just that part of like the live album, basically. That skit to listen to on your iPod or something that. Like, so, but man, yeah, especially early on, like he had a bunch of really good ones that have just like stuck with me, especially, right? Like that one, there's like the Burger King one, how he talks about when he works there. How he called it the BK Lounge, and I still use that as a joke every now and then
too.
And what else? I still think my favorite one though is the Kool-Aid Man, when he's like, yeah, that thing is not realistic at all, like, you know, bowl of fruit punch burst through your wall and you're just like, oh no, you're gonna fix that wall before my dad gets home from work, basically. Like, it's just not realistic at all, but like, just like stuff like that. So I still think one of my favorite ones though has to be him talking about like naming his kids after Transformers and stuff like that. it's some quality stuff. If you haven't listened to any Dane Cook, I strongly suggest it. It is pretty good. So I know what you mean though about like just going to friends' houses and like searching up like even just different comedians on YouTube. Like probably one of, if not my favorite comedian is Jeff Dunham. A ventriloquist. And I think one of the earliest ones I saw of him was the first time he brought out Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still remember so much of that skit alone or that. That he was a really fun act to see live. When did I see him? I think it was like 5 years ago or 6 years ago now. But that was such a fun show, honestly. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really fun. He's definitely on my bucket list of comedians to go see.
He's a good entertainer as well. And he'll start the first maybe 15, 20 minutes of the show just on his own, actually. So
nice.
It's not just about, you know, the puppets or whatnot. Like, obviously they are an aspect to the show or that, but, and like, obviously they're the puppets are Jeff Dunham. Sorry to spoil that for anybody. but like, just on his own, he's still a very funny guy, right? Like, he could easily just do stand up on his own, but the ventriloquist act just adds another layer to it. So,
Well, you know, he does the voices for the puppets too, right? Like, they're not other
really?
People.
Really? I thought he just wrote the jokes. Fuck, man.
No, it's not like Sesame Street where the puppets are alive. Like, he's controlling the puppets.
Sesame Street, the Muppets as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I thought that one.
How do you explain the Muppets movie? Like,
exactly, right? Like, and they're talking alongside people. So yeah, they have to be real, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Tell me they're real. All right, there's some random like just a little kid who's like, wait, what?
We're getting so far off the rails already, so let's stay off the rails for a little bit. But because it's spooky season, also I got a bit here to introduce us to spooky season.
Uh oh,
spooky talk.
Honestly,
I hope that got picked up. I
don't know. It totally did. Just, I don't know why, just the way you stood up from your chair. Okay, if you're not watching us on YouTube,
there's I am wearing pants.
There is, oh, yes, but there's definitely things that you miss out, I feel like, at times if you're not watching us. We try to do as much to cater to both sides, but the way you stood up for some reason, I thought you were about to put your ass to the microphone. I don't know why, just the way you stood up, it looked like you were about to do that. And I'm like, Carter, come on.
I have that thought, honestly. Literally in 140 episodes has never crossed my mind to do, but it's in there now. Just everybody who is listening, beware for future episodes.
Oh my God.
Anyways, spooky season. One of our favorite non-holidays. Well, it's my favorite non-holiday.
It's a holiday,
actually.
It is a holiday, and we should not have to work if it's on a weekday. It should be a long weekend if it's on the weekend.
No. Honestly, I think Halloween should always be on the weekday. We need to rework the whole calendar system so that Halloween always ends up on a weekday, so I can wear my costume to work. Because otherwise, I have nowhere to wear my costume. Except parties, which are fine, but
yeah, okay, fair enough. But you get, okay, there's the Halloween holiday, and then there's November 1st, which is called Recovery Day, from all the partying and the late night, even for the kids, the late night trick-or-treating that you do, right? That way
the
it's
candy
not,
hangovers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? So November 1st needs to be, you're not going into work. That's just what it needs to be.
It's like New Year's Day. It's like, we know that you all got absolutely shittered last night and stayed up super late, so free day.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, so, why otherwise is it actually a holiday, though? Like
November 1st?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
No, for New Year's, I mean, like, there's no other reason that I can think of offhand. Like, why is it a holiday otherwise? It's like, we started another year. Sweet. Cool. It's another year. No, actually, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna go that far, but it's another year. Cool. Yeah, 100%. It's because we know you're hanging out with people and you are doing some probably unspeakable things. Let's be honest here, because it's like, yo, it's fine. I'll make it part of my New Year's resolution to not do that again.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need something like that for Halloween, 100%. November 1st needs to be the day that you don't go to work.
Yeah. Honestly, I would rather it be November 1st, and then I would rather go to work on January 1st.
Okay, I like the first part. I don't like the second part. I still want that day off.
No, I mean, I do too, but I'm saying if the people that decide holidays, I guess that's the government who does that. If they're like, nope, we can't give you any more days off. We're at our absolute max. If you want November 1st off, you got to get rid of a day off. I would pick November 1st or January 1st, New Year's Day, to get November 1st off. If I had to pick. Otherwise, I would say, no, give us both. But
yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Either way, though, yes, Halloween is a holiday, though, very much so. Okay. And it's very worthwhile to celebrate. Those who don't celebrate Halloween, this has been a hot topic lately with another friend group that I have or whatever, of like some people are just like, yeah, like Halloween's just whatever, and I'm like, you fucking take that back.
It is not just whatever.
Exactly. Or people being like, you shouldn't dress up if you're an adult. I'll do what the fuck I want. Thank you very much.
It's the only time you can dress up as an adult.
And not be looked at weird. Unless you're going to Comic-Con.
That's the only other time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. But so. But you're going with people that are also going to dress up will at least be like, oh, that's normal. Like it's expected. But October 31st, you can go literally anywhere. Get groceries as Iron Man. You can go to the bar in a Spider-Man suit. I don't know why I'm just going superheroes. You can go into the bank as a vampire. All the stuff that you can't normally just do. Like even if you're going to Comic-Con, you can't walk into a McDonald's in a Loki costume. It's you get weird.
Okay,
looks.
And I'll say
McDonald's was a bad example.
San Diego Comic-Con, you can do that because that's the big Comic-Con, right? I'd say probably that and New York Comic-Con are the ones that are this is going on. Like the city is preparing for it, essentially. Yeah. I feel like those are the ones that are fine. But if you're doing the Lethbridge one, I'm pretty sure that we have one here. But if you're doing the Lethbridge one, that's a little odd still. So it's not the same thing. But
yeah, but October 31st or the 30th because it's the Saturday. If you walk into, I don't know, you could walk into the Keg in a Peter Pan costume and no one would fucking bat an eye. So,
I think they still would though. That's a pretty up there
on Halloween though.
That's a close to the waist type costume still though.
I don't know. I feel like it would be okay, but
it would be better at least. But yeah.
Maybe you have to go as business casual Peter Pan. no hats, you have to do your hair and
no hats, but you still have the rest of the costume.
Yeah. And you have to have a tie as well. So gotta be classy Peter Pan.
Yeah, is that what you're going for as Halloween? Is that what you're trying to justify this right now?
No, I'm going as Bugs Bunny, but if I want to go to the Keg, then I'll go as classy Bugs Bunny, you know.
Okay.
Top hat, monocle, smoking a carrot pipe.
Yeah, there you go. So if you're going as Bugs Bunny, is your girlfriend going as Daffy?
No.
Or are they going as, what's the hunter's name? Why am I forgetting this right now?
Oh, Elmer Fudd?
Yeah, is she going as Elmer Fudd? That would be hilarious.
No, my plan was actually for you to convince you to go as Daffy Duck. And then we could find someone to do Elmer Fudd, and then we can just argue over whether it's duck season or rabbit season. No, she's going as Lola Bunny. We're going as the Space Jam versions of Bugs and Lola.
Okay, Space Jam 1 or Space Jam 2?
What the fuck do you think?
Space Jam 1.
Obviously, yeah.
it's Halloween. It's the one time of year that you can dress up and not be looked at oddly. It's also the one time apparently that girls can dress up super slutty and not get looked at weirdly. I don't know. All right, cool. I don't know what else, but it's just all right, cool. So but I just remember seeing the whole stuff with Space Jam 2 and they're like, yeah, they made Lola Bunny less sexy, and everybody our age and up who grew up with that movie are like, the fuck are you doing? And
I haven't seen it for that reason. What's the appeal?
But
now?
Every sane person though is looking at those people. Apparently, I'm looking at you and going, "Why are you attracted to a bunny? Is there something you need to tell me?"
I'm not. No, Nate. I'm not currently. Let me explain it to you. I'm not currently attracted to an animated bunny. Okay, that is not the case at all. Not even
one. It's not realistic, and two, that's bestiality.
Yeah,
we are definitely crossing a line here. But
Yeah.
Okay. This needs
okay, if we're going to talk about bestiality, we're going to talk about Beauty and the Beast, and we're going to save that for another time. But it's not about being attracted to an animated bunny, Nate. It's about nostalgia. So as a small child who didn't understand the difference between animals and people and animated shows and live action shows, and everything was just all the same. So as a kid, that was my Lola Bunny was my sexual awakening, okay? It was everybody's sexual awakening. So don't even come at me. Just every young straight boy's sexual awakening was Lola Bunny. And that is why people are upset. Because it's taking a part of our childhood away. Are you gonna be okay?
What the fuck?
Let me reiterate, this isn't the case anymore, okay? I understand how weird it is now.
I want this speech given at the party we're going to in front of everybody else, because I want to see everybody else's reaction to this.
Yo, I guarantee that you, especially the people that we're going to the party with, I know that you're going to be in the minority here, 100%.
Okay, I want to see this actually happen, though. All right, I'm holding you to this. I want this to be early enough in the night as well that, like, you're still fairly sober.
That like, I can like form a coherent thought. Yeah, yes, yeah, for sure.
But that everybody else is realizing fully what you are saying. I just want to see this.
Yeah, I honestly I can't be the only one that thinks. Actually, I know I'm not the only one that thinks this because.
Oh, I know you're not the only one. But that's why I'm like, what the fuck kind of deal.
So if anyone's listening to this, please DM us at Quack Report Pod or Nate at Tate Namas and tell him that I speak the truth and that I'm not insane and that
Lola Bunny, an animated animal, was sexual awakening. My god.
Dude, I was like 4 when that movie came out, or 3. I don't even know when did it come out.
Dude, I think that movie actually came out before we were born, if I'm being honest
maybe
here.
Yeah,
I'm taking a look here.
I am too. Oh yeah, 96. So yeah, the year before 96, we were born. That's wild. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, enough about what I'm going as for Halloween, because apparently it gets us down Bugs's rabbit hole there. What are you going as?
No, I'm not going to make the joke. Okay.
Yeah, as soon as I said it. I know. Okay.
Oh, my girlfriend and I are going as Batman and Wonder Woman. So
classic. Nice.
Yeah, very very classic, but
I get to see you in like some tight spandex and like a little crop top thing with like your sick armor guards or.
Yeah, because actually she's dressed up as Batman. I'm going to be wearing the Wonder Woman skirt. So.
Yeah. Nice.
No, I'm kidding. That actually would be kind of fucking funny, though. I get so full on board with Halloween, and you know this, like to the point that there was the one year that you and I did, well, we'll call it like a couple's costume or a pair's costume. We went as Rick and Morty.
That's a couple's costume. Come on, own it.
Yeah, there. Okay. and you went as Rick, and I went as Morty, and... Yeah. Because I get such a hard sleep for Halloween, I will go full out for it. I shaved my beard completely off. Mm-hmm. I don't regret much in life. As soon as I looked at myself in the mirror, though, I regretted that. And yeah. I still do, and I have not done it since.
No, like, it's my been beard has, thick ever since, yeah.
My beard has been at least like 1.5-2 inches long since that day, basically. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the same time, excuse me, the entertainment value was there because went to people's houses. Like we did a few party hops basically during that night.
We'd known for a couple of years at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And there was people straight up not recognizing me. They're like, who's the guy that came with Carter or whatever? And like somebody would realize that, holy shit, that's Nate.
Yeah. I like for people that we had known and seen pretty much every day for 2 years, you were standing right beside me and somebody literally asked me, where's Nate? And I was like,
right here.
Yeah. And then I looked and I was like, Jesus, fuck. You know that meme of from The Office where,
yeah,
I don't know their names.
It's, but they're like, fuck. It's basically that. Yeah, you're right. It was that. Yeah. I still remember the reaction though, because I didn't tell you I was shaving my beard either.
Yeah.
And so I come back downstairs and I think I just asked you some question and you just have this look on your face and you just go, you're going to have to repeat whatever you said because I didn't hear a fucking word of it. What the fuck did you do to your face? And then, like we had people like that we were going to go to these parties with come over to our place as well. Included in that group is my now girlfriend. They were like, everybody was in this room for about 5 minutes. I'm sitting right there on the couch. I just hadn't said really a word or anything like that. And like my now girlfriend straight up said, "Where's Nate?" And I'm like, "I've been sitting here the whole time." So like, okay, I will agree. Beards are 100% the makeup for men, or like the makeup like of men kind of thing. Like, I if you're a guy and you want to wear makeup, sure, go for it. Like, if you you know, no judgment here. But like, just that. That kind of the like the cover up almost kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 100% it, and I am fine with leaving mine. I do not plan to shave it off ever again. My girlfriend has even told me so that she never wants to see my bare face again. Which, no offense to that, I don't want to see it either. So like, I think the only person that was like, "Oh, you should shave and look like a nice boy," is like my stepmom. And I'm like,
wow, that's just what they.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, so, it's not happening. That's for sure.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm super excited for Halloween. I like dressing up as Batman. That's good. That's
it's a
good
classic
stuff.
Costume.
Yeah, and it's one that I have done like a couple times. Like I did it. I think I did it in high school and elementary school. I know I did it at least once, kind of thing, and stuff like that. So there's a couple costumes that like I've just repeated through the years, but like they're fun to dress up as. The one that I was kind of like, I think it was in high school that I was kind of surprised I had never dressed up as was Spider-Man. And so I think it was in grade 12, like I had gotten like the morph suit and everything like that. And even had like put myself on a diet for a month just so I could look decent in the costume. I did not take the mask off also like all day wandering through the halls or anything like that. I just had people taking pictures with me who were also in the halls and stuff like that. It was fun. I was just living it up.
You were like a celebrity for a day.
Yeah, basically. So I was having fun with it. So
yeah, that's good. All right. We've got a, I mean, we don't have a packed episode, but should we get into the hockey talk here?
Yeah, let's do it. I guess if we have to talk about a loss again.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, also, before we move on to that, though, let us know what you guys are dressing up as and if you have any special plans for Halloween.
You can send us pictures as well. I love to see a costume, so feel free to send them our way.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're big old nerds for that stuff. So, yeah, but into the hockey talk. Let's go. All right. Welcome back to the Quack. Oh, Nate's unfrozen. Damn it. I had a bit, but now you're unfrozen. So.
Oh, damn. Right. Well, say the bit anyway. Say the bit anyway.
It's gone. I don't remember what it was. Save it for next time. Right. So, the game 7 of the season. Ducks won that one 3-2. Hell yeah.
I'm missing a game. It hasn't been that long. I am so confused right now.
No, don't look up. Don't look at the scores. No. Ducks win. What? That's the reality I'm choosing to live in.
Oh. We will pull out a Thanos. Reality can be whatever I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's your gauntlet, huh?
You got me there.
With just one snap of my fingers, I can make the Ducks Stanley Cup champions.
Nate, there's some things that the Infinity Stones just can't do, and that is one of them. That's one of those episode 4 things of What If. I forget what it's called. Fixed Point in Time. It has a cooler name. Yeah,
I think Fixed Point. Maybe. Yeah, I think you're...
Unavoidable.
You're all there. Yeah.
I don't know. It was something like that. I tried to be cool.
He's straight up having an abuse for a second. I'm like, did I miss a game? I'm like, this is the one.
No. Yeah, the Ducks were winning 3-2 up until the last minute of the game.
Oh, I see where. Okay.
And we inevitably choked.
Are you serious?
See, this is why you should watch YouTube, because you didn't get to see me pull off the JJJ there.
You didn't pull it off. Well, at least from my perspective, the timing was way off, but I don't know how.
It was on time.
Delay works.
So. I promise it was on time.
We'll go there. We'll go with that. So, yeah. Ducks blow it in the last minute. 2 goals. We don't even get a point out of the deal, which was kind of rude of the Jets, but.
A little bit.
As much as it sucks, I'm upset, obviously, but I'm not that upset because we lost with Lundestrom on the ice when it was 3-2, taking the defensive zone faceoff. When it was 3-3, Zegras took the faceoff and lost. So I'm at least glad that the rookies like were given that trust in the last minute of the game. And yes, it sucks that they lost, but they were out there, and that's going to be a learning experience for them. And they're guaranteed, because I just from what I've seen from Zegras, he's going to work on his faceoffs a ton over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to see a good improvement from that. And then he's going to get that trust back from the coaching staff to be out there in that last minute of the game, taking those important faceoffs.
So. Yeah. There's a tweet specifically that I saved here that I think just encapsulates really the start of this season, right? Like if it was like last year or whatnot, we'd probably both be kind of doom and gloom already at this point, right? Like, oh, shit's not working. Like we're staying for a long season and stuff like that. I know he said that, but that was just more on the aspect of just losing in general.
Yeah.
But this tweet specifically from at underscore J Robles 71 had said Ducks lost, but were fun. All that matters right now. And I think he nails it on the head, honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
These games have, like, I mean, really outside of, actually not even outside of the last Jets game. I was just thinking more of the score, but I kind of thought back to it. All these games have been entertaining to watch. The Ducks have had a chance every game.
Yeah.
There's at least a chance there every game, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's still a couple things obviously that can be improved on. Like we see in this one, it was just the collapse again in the last 5 minutes kind of thing that cost us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But we're seeing improvements in almost every aspect that we have been complaining about for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And
it makes it more enjoyable, right? Like, because I remember at certain points last year that there were people like on Twitter and whatever just saying, like, I don't even know if I want to watch the rest of the games this year because like I'm not enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. Everybody can enjoy watching these games no matter the results, really, as a Ducks fan, because you're seeing improvement. You're seeing optimism and hopefulness on the ice, right? Mm-hmm. You can see that just everybody's having fun, which makes it more enjoyable for the viewers, right? Because at the end of the day, these guys are all making millions of dollars and stuff like that. At the end of the day, this is a game. This is entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not entertained by it, it's not doing its job.
Yeah.
It's not fulfilling its purpose. So,
I agree. 100%.
As much as, you know, it sucks that we lost in the last minute and a half, basically in the span of 30 seconds we lost, which, that sucks. That's a horrible collapse. The rest of the game was fun to watch.
Yeah, so, and I think we're a better team for the rest of the game as well.
Yeah, at least for myself watching the condensed game for this. I did put out on Twitter, hey, I'm not able to watch this right now, which is why I wasn't tweeting. I asked people to fill me in on how everything looked. And people were enjoying it and were saying that the Ducks were looking good and everything like that too. The condensed game, on my behalf at least, definitely back that up, right? Like the team looked good. It looked fun. I wish I could have watched that game, honestly, instead.
Yeah, me too.
They stuck with homework. Like,
fuck. Yeah, right. Yeah, so, I was in the same boat. Yeah, I know this week's pretty shitty for both of us, just like school and work wise. So unfortunately we haven't been able to watch it. But the condensed game definitely was a lot of fun. I think the big thing that I've noticed just over these seven games in comparison to last season is this team has like an identity now. Like their identity is like, we are a young, fast team that's going to be tough to play against because they don't give up on plays. They're attacking the puck, like loose pucks or the puck carrier. That is this Ducks team's identity, right? And we're just seeing kind of the roots of it as it starts to build. In a few years, it's going to be a good team. It's a very good strategy to have. We see teams like Carolina, Edmonton, Ottawa, like they play that way,
Ottawa are playing that way.
I think Ottawa is the best comparable. Maybe Carolina and Edmonton a few years ago were playing that way, but Ottawa now, I think we're just kind of a year, maybe 2 years behind Ottawa. Like, look at how good they're doing just because they're this young team that is just so aggressive, but in a skilled way, not like a, we're going to smash the shit out of you and make you hurt halfway through the game kind of way.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I think that's what makes it really fun is just having that identity. Cause we didn't have that last year, in my opinion. So.
And identity is such a big thing in the NHL, right? Or just, you know, in sports in general, right? Like if you don't have one, we'll say at the point where it, you know, you're really getting competitive. So we'll go with like, I don't know, U14, U16 kind of range.
Yeah.
Something like that. But like, if you don't have an identity, it makes the game hard, honestly, mm-hmm. because you have a bunch of people trying to do a bunch of different things that some don't really work with each other or whatnot. Yep. If you have an identity, you have, still different roles and whatnot on a team, mm-hmm. but everything is cohesive, right? Mm-hmm. So you still have the guys that say, like you were talking about for us, you want that explosive, fun team, right? Mm-hmm. There's still those couple of guys, though, that'll make sure that those people who are mainly in charge for that are able to do their job and will handle some of the tougher stuff, right? Yeah. So, like, Getzlaff is still in that conversation, right?
Absolutely.
Shattenkirk's definitely still in there, as much as he's mm-hmm. been contributing point-wise, right? He'll definitely stand up for those young guys, 100%. Yeah. We've seen it happen, right? Mm-hmm. Just the guys like that who are willing to step up to allow that team, to allow this team to have that identity, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Just while we're on the topic of young guys, I know you're a huge fan of Sonny Milano. You were over the moon when we got him. We won't talk about him and Zegras just yet. I just want you to talk about Sonny Milano and how excited you are about him.
And I'm so glad I'm not the only one as well. I was trying to keep up with certain parts, like just kind of throughout Twitter, checking it periodically and whatnot. And it sounds like Sonny Milano was doing the things that I was excited to have Sonny Milano for, right? Yeah. Just, you know, adding to that aspect of the fast, fun team, right? Sonny Milano is just a fun player to watch. And he put up a couple points in this game.
Goal and an assist, yeah.
Yeah, goal and an assist as well. Two shots on net, which I mean isn't a whole lot, but he's scoring 50%. The guy had 14.08 of ice time.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, honestly. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, pretty happy with that even, right? And he was looking good. So, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who's getting hyped up for him and who's at the point of like, you know, he should be in this lineup and
he's earned his spot for now. Yeah,
exactly. So, and you know, if we see that he's gotten pulled, going into, I guess, yeah, Thursday's game, versus Buffalo, or even the Friday one against Vegas, I'm actually going to be upset because this is a guy that deserves the spot, I think. Absolutely. He was out most of last season because of injury, right? But besides that, like, this almost feels too long to have injected him into the lineup. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. He spent most of the night with Lundestrom and Jakob Silfverberg on what Daily Faceoff considers our third line.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think we really have three, just, I don't know, we'll call them second lines. Three second lines. And then we have our fourth line with Delorier, Grew, and Carrick, which is our big mean line. We pretty much rolled those three lines for relatively the same amount of time throughout the last few games.
Besides that labeled top line, like Getzlaff played 1905 against Winnipeg there, mm-hmm. which is
impressive. That's very impressive for
his
age. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought, especially early on in the game, Milano and Lundestrom had some really, really great chemistry. This is where I think we need to bring in the Zegras talk because
fuck, those two look good.
They connected for two goals and that was all them on those goals. They're I'm not comparing the players. I'm comparing the chemistry. Let me make that very, very clear. Yep. They have the exact same chemistry that I've seen over the last few seasons with McDavid and Draisaitl. They just know exactly where they are. Tape-to-tape passes. It's weird. It's like they're brothers or twins or something. Like,
so is that just in that McDavid game? I've seen Draisaitl. Is that more Sedin?
you could compare it there either. I've just seen Getzlaff more of Perry, McDavid and Draisaitl. Yeah, but
if you want to go with like a more local comparison kind of thing,
sure. But. Yeah, but they already have that chemistry.
That is also why you should keep Milano in the lineup. Yeah. Like, don't. And this is the issue that I had a lot with last year. Don't fuck with what works,
mm-hmm.
right? That and especially right now, because I mean, realistically, like just taking a look at the standings, we're literally 1 point out of a wild card.
Yeah,
I know it's still early in the season, so like that'll eventually, like the spread will get more. Mm-hmm. We're sitting fifth for the wild card.
Yeah.
But we are, yeah, we are 1 point mm-hmm. out from it.
But we tighten up a couple of things. We capitalize on more of our chances and we just tighten up a little bit defensively and we're winning. Honestly, we could be, what's our record right now? I don't even know.
2-4-1 in 7 games.
Honestly, we could be 4-2-1 if we just tighten up a few things. Say before game one started, we had tightened up those few things easily, just with how close and how much of a toss up some of those games were.
Yeah.
Like that is not without the quest, not out of the question.
Yeah. I think the second half of the season is going to be really interesting for a lot of teams because mm-hmm. normally it's, you know, that's when teams are getting tired and stuff like that. But we're potentially, if all goes well, we're going to have two different breaks going on. We're going to have the Olympics and we're going to have the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Those two things normally aren't happening in the same year, right? If it's an Olympic year and the NHL's going, they typically scrap the All-Star game. Just mm-hmm. right. So it's really interesting how this year is going to go because teams are going to have breaks.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super interesting. I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So
mm-hmm. Let's talk about Zegras and Milano because those two goals, we got to keep talking about those guys. Okay, I have something for you here.
All right.
Just take a guess at how much, because I already said Zegras. Well, we already know Zegras is on that line with Henrique and Raquel, and Milano, Lundstrom, and Silfverberg played most of the game together. But we can't ignore that Zegras and Milano were also happened to be on the ice for two goals together and connected for two goals. Take a guess how much time they spent on the ice together. Don't think about it.
I'm gonna take a guess. Under 2 minutes.
If even less, they spent 39 seconds on the ice together. In at least two shifts. I don't think it has shifts. Yeah, it doesn't on Natural Stat Trick, at least not that is jumping right out at me, for at least two shifts. So where did this come from? Like, has this just been like our secret hidden weapon? And then like Milano happens to be on the ice and then Eakins is like, Zegras, just go out there and go to the net. And then
Zegras jumping onto the ice and joining the play right away.
Yeah, exactly. Like, was that a game plan? Like, did he just realize they have this instant chemistry that they every time they both touch the puck in succession, it goes into the back of the net?
I think you're giving too much credit on Dallas Eakins for that one. But
yeah, I think he honestly just lucked into it.
Yeah, but
like honestly.
But then again, though, like I said, if it works, don't mess with it. Make mm-hmm. it a thing right now and see if it's actually if that was just a spark, like a flash in the pan, or mm-hmm. if this is actually a thing.
Yeah, you have to. You're stupid. Not to try that in a couple other games, like line them up together for even a period, just a second period, just see if it works, see if that chemistry mm-hmm. still happens, work on it in practice a little bit. But we also talked about how Milano and Lundstrom had that really good chemistry, mm-hmm. but also Milano and Zegras have this really good chemistry. So I gotta pull up the lines off of Daily Faceoff here because I got a thought and I need to know if it's stupid.
All right.
You can't see that yet. Okay. Here's Daily Faceoff's lines. Can you see that okay?
Yeah, I can see that fine.
Okay. I'm going to zoom in just for the people that are watching on their phones.
Okay. Or that are watching on YouTube as this gets posted after and that kind of stuff.
Okay, there we go. That's good.
Be sure to go watch us on YouTube. You can also watch the live streams on Twitch as well. So,
yeah. So, Milano and Lundstrom already together. Lundstrom and Zegras both centers. I think realistically, if we put Zegras on this third line, first of all, that's a very young line, high risk. We'll see what happens. But I think that works because you could put Zegras on this line. You keep Getzlaf, Terry, and Comtois together. Silfverberg can play the left side, and Henrique moves to center on this first line. That's a solid veteran, high skilled line. And this is a fast, tenacious on the puck line. It's Milano, Lundstrom, Zegras, and then Silf, Raquel, Henrique. And that doesn't really affect much else in the lineup. I think that's very possible. If you're Dallas Eakins, do you put that line together even though it's young and you hate young people, apparently?
Fucking ageist. I think you do at least try it for a game or two.
Yeah.
See what happens kind of
thing.
I would
be curious, right? Especially because Lundestrom was out with the lead with a minute and a half left, and then Zegras was out in the defensive zone when the game was tied with a minute left. I think, to me, that says that Eakins has a lot of trust in these guys. So, fuck it. Put them together. Like, what's the worst that happens? We go 2-79-1 on the season? Who gives a shit? We get Shane Wright, and then next year, the whole rest of the team is better and has that extra year of experience. Like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Try it. I think that could be one of, in 5 years, that's a top line that rivals any other top line in the league.
Yeah.
Has the potential to.
Yeah. Lundestrom won 50% of the faceoff dots versus Winnipeg. I don't have how many specific he took. And Zegras won 25%, but Zegras also had 2 minutes extra. Zegras actually had a, see, that's the number I want to see with Zegras. 18-14. Like those higher minutes. Thank you, Dallas. It's wonders what happens when you listen to us.
Mm-hmm. Zegras took 15 faceoffs, 4 and 11. And then who was the other guy? Lundestrom?
Yeah.
He took 4.
Oh, okay. So a little bit disproportionate, I guess. But,
a little bit, yeah.
But even so, though, like that's, I'm glad that he's actually trying to utilize Zegras a little bit more. And he doesn't seem to be sheltering him as much as he did even at the start of the season.
He's getting the same ice time as everybody else. So,
yeah,
it's awesome. Okay.
I would much rather him get more time and learn from his mistakes because realistically, we aren't expecting to win, right?
Yeah. And we're having fun. That's what matters. They're going
to exactly.
They're going to sell tickets. They're going to put bums in seats and they're going to still make money this year.
Yeah.
Because it's
fun. And honestly, sometimes failure is the best teacher, right? We've both experienced that in different ways as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether it be sports, in school, in life in general, right? Mm-hmm. But especially with sports that I have found. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you need a shit kicking to, you know, get yourself to where you should be or to where you want to be or that.
Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning getting top in the league, getting swept by a team that they should have swept.
Exactly.
The first round. Was it the next season? Yeah, it was the next,
the next season,
playoffs, I guess.
Yeah.
They won the Stanley Cup. Won the Stanley Cup the next season after that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just one, that's the most recent example. It's happened many times before, many, many times.
Also, I'm not sure if you saw this, like, quick sidetrack. Kucherov out 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more like, I don't know. I still expect him to come back in April.
See you in playoffs.
Yeah. okay. Is there anything else you want to say about this game here?
I don't think so. Like, really, the only downside, and I talked about it briefly, is just that 30-second span that unfortunately cost us the game. But besides that, there was a lot of positives to this game. Mm-hmm. And as I said at the start of the season as well, if we have more positives than negatives, really, at the end of the season, even if we don't make the playoffs, which, again, we're still not expecting to, mm-hmm. as fun as this team has been, right? As long as we have more positives than negatives, that's a good season.
We could go 0-82, and as long as we played good games that showed promise, I wouldn't give a shit.
I mean, I'd like a few wins, but
maybe one and 81 at the bare minimum. But
yeah,
bare minimum. But yeah,
this upcoming game against Buffalo is going to be interesting, I think, because they've been Buffalo's been interesting,
been hot,
to say the least,
which is weird. I think Vegas will be interesting as well because Vegas has been shit. So
yeah, because they're missing Pacioretty and Stone now.
I got to stop you there. We got to take a quick break, but we'll talk about that immediately on the other side.
Okay. NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, and bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and you can win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win. with promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Before we get back into the Buffalo and Vegas talk, mm-hmm. because it's kind of like previews, I just want to shout out our network mates at In the Dome, one of the Calgary podcasts on here, for calling out a specific Twitter user who, during the World Championship, when Calgary Flame Andrew Mangiapane got put into the lineup, this guy had tweeted, yay says Calgary. Who? Asks Canada. Flames need to fix their roster. I don't know if this guy gets second line minutes on any other Canadian team. With Mangiapane then going on to win MVP of the World Championship and is currently, at least at the time of this recording, tied in a three-way tie for first in the league for goals.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out our buddies at In the Dome just because that's fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, Mangiapane, if he was on any other team, he would be one of my favorite players, but I can't like
him, so. Because he's on Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, let's get back to Buff. Oh, did you have something else you wanted to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, just like as we were taking that break, I was just scrolling quick and I saw that. So I just wanted to give those guys a quick shout out there. So they're definitely the, they're a very fun show to listen to. So
I thought you were going to give us the lowdown on what happened in the Toronto Chicago game, because those are two franchises ready to implode. Toronto did win. I checked while you were talking there. They won in overtime.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Thank fuck, because I had Jack Campbell on one of my teams and I needed that win.
That's but still, on paper, Toronto should absolutely obliterate that Chicago game. Yeah,
it's, oh man. That Chicago team was just such a wild card going into this season. Mm-hmm. And I think it proves it, because we had them in drastically different spots, I believe, with our way too early season predictions. Let me see if I still have those.
Yeah. I don't think we're actually that far off.
I had them in third. You had them in fifth.
Yeah. So kind of.
And I mean, fifth can miss the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that team was just such a wild card going into it. The Leafs should be a hell of a lot better, but at the same time, there's definitely some question marks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we'll save that for the Leafs podcast. But yeah, it's interesting for sure. So, who knows? Maybe that means we could go like Raquel from Marner. That'd be interesting. Like I'm just saying, there's guys that could potentially be on the block soon.
Honestly, I doubt
it would be Marner, but
yeah, I was gonna say Marner. I don't think would be the guy who would be on the block out of all of those like bigger names. Like, we'll say like the top four guys of like Tavares, Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. Mm-hmm. I don't think Marner's on that list.
No. I would put him at third. I think Tavares and Matthews are the untouchables there, and then I think it's Marner, but Nylander would be the first to go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you had to get rid of one of them, like if you were pretty much forced to make drastic changes.
Yeah.
Because I think Marner's just off to a cold start, like a really, really cold start.
Yeah. It's a little bit different for him, though. And even Tavares, I think, because they are like they're from Toronto originally, right? Yeah. Like this, like the pressure on them is so much more different compared to Matthews, who's not from the market, right? It's from Arizona. And even Nylander, who's from Calgary, but refuses to acknowledge he's from Calgary, says he's from Sweden.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's fair. I think Sweden's like cooler than Calgary. Yeah,
it's a different kind of pressure on them, especially with that market, right? Like that's honestly a tough situation. It's one that you grow up, like especially if you're from Toronto, it's one that you grow up dreaming of. Yeah. And that's what both those guys have said, right? Yeah, like they as kids, they wanted to be Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. But the reality is a hell of a lot different. There's a lot more pressure, I think, on those two guys, even more so than mm-hmm. Matthews, right? Just because they're from Toronto as well. They know how much the team means and that kind of thing, because they were part of that fan base before they were the players, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I think that All or Nothing documentary is super interesting. I haven't finished it yet, but
it's
from what
really
I've seen
good.
Of it, it's very eye opening into how the Leafs fan base, not the Leafs fan, the Leafs team mm-hmm. has to accommodate the fan base. Like, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see that same series with another team, just mm-hmm. to see how drastically different it is. Because I know that, like, the list of priorities and like, shit they have to deal with.
I'd love a
like,
Ducks one right now.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like,
that'd be a lot of fun.
This season would be interesting.
Yeah. But do you know how drastically different the Ducks locker room and like general manager office is going to be compared to the Leafs one? Like, they're not going to give a shit about, they're not going to have like briefs on, okay, like, we can't say this to the media. This is how we have to word this for the media. Like, this is like, that's not happening in Anaheim. There's no way.
No, they just say, we're not going to say anything to the media until the very last second. And
yeah, exactly.
Be big.
Yeah. Like, do you know, like, those are drastically different things. Like, I honestly don't think I could name another market where the media plays that big of a deal in the NHL than in Toronto.
Montreal, I think.
I don't even think
that's the only other comparable.
I don't even think it's comparable. It's it's probably second on the list, but it's not comparable. It's insane.
Well, I think it's comparable because, man, those Quebecois are nuts about the Canadians.
They're nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. In my opinion, from what I've, and again, it could be totally different if we see that same documentary with Montreal, they could be pretty much identical. But just from documentary alone, like, I couldn't even imagine that how the Leafs locker room is not what I imagined, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's not a thing of like you're wrong, I'm right kind of thing, but I think that just to show kind of the comparable, it's a little bit of a dated comparable, but it's still a comparable, I think. There was a point that Montreal Canadiens fans wanted to keep Jaro Halak over a young Carey Price. That's how much scrutiny there was during, I think it was the 2011 playoff run that they had. I think they went to the Eastern Conference Finals or something like that. But like that was the point that they were at as well. Like, yeah, Montreal is another beast in itself, and it's in two different languages.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I'm sure. Like, I know it's crazy there too.
Toronto is definitely one of the harder markets.
Yeah, I'm sure that Montreal will get an All or Nothing series or similar very, very soon.
Yeah.
So then we'll really get to see and have a better idea of the comparables, I guess. But just given the information, that's my opinion, which is probably wrong. Yeah. And like, I have no fucking clue how it actually is.
But yeah, I mean, if you have Amazon Prime, you have access to this documentary series. And even if you're not a Leafs fan, you could give less of a shit just for the behind the scenes look at how an NHL team operates. That's not really held back or anything like that, because it's not like the HBO Road to the Winter Classic stuff, right? Where like it's going to the public, like on national broadcast or anything like that. Like this show isn't very reserved, honestly.
No. No, it's not.
So, this is a great look into it.
Yeah.
So,
I thought, honestly, one of the parts I've enjoyed the most so far is how NHL teams dealt with the the pandemic, like operated within the pandemic. I thought that was super, super interesting. And it really puts it into perspective, like, you know, maybe why some of the players had like career worst years last year, or teams underperformed because they were just going through a whole bunch of shit. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's tough, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And that was part of the reason that I was saying like earlier on as well, that like, you know, for a lot of these teams, a lot of these players, that just like things kind of seemed odd. It's a write-off year.
Yeah.
It still counts, but it's a write-off year. You shouldn't be looking too deep into it.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Back to Buffalo and Vegas. Man, I shouldn't have sent it to break. We would have been fine.
Yeah. Buffalo, what the fuck is going on, man?
Oh, man. See, someone brought this up in a group chat I'm in, and Buffalo, in either October or November, they always go on like a 10-game win streak. And people are like,
yeah,
is Buffalo the real deal? And no. This is what's going on. It's just that it happens to be at the very beginning of the season.
So yeah, exactly.
People are actually paying attention to Buffalo now. But
yeah, exactly.
Honestly, they're going to fizzle out. And if they don't, I'll eat my pants. Not actually, because
there's another aspect, I think, to the Buffalo Sabres just in general, though, is like everybody has them counted out, right? Like,
yeah,
everybody's thinking
it's that Vegas mentality in their first year,
kind of, yeah, but like even more so, I think, to the point that like it's there's what maybe 5-6 like normal NHLers for any other team kind of thing, otherwise, it's yeah. Who the hell is this guy, or it's like a brand new guy that's maybe getting a little bit, but yeah, exactly,
yeah.
And so like, I think just kind of that written off aspect and whatnot, this is a team with nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you have no expectations on you,
mm-hmm.
it makes it a little bit easier. Right. Yeah.
So, I think they're also playing for a spot in, not even just on the team, like in the league. Like you said, yeah. There's a lot of guys that would be written off by the other 31 NHL teams. So yeah, if they exactly. can go into Buffalo and like prove their worth, like they might have a contract next year, or they might get to stay in Buffalo because it's their only chance to play right now. Like mm-hmm. there is
Buffalo's a great addition to the AHL, let me tell you.
realistically, how do you see this game going on Thursday?
Well, like the Buffalo Sabres, I have no fucking clue, honestly, yeah. because we could have the Buffalo of the past that is just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We could have the Buffalo from the start of the season that went 3-0 and was just lights out kind mm-hmm. of thing. I'd like to think they're kind of starting to fizzle out as well. I feel like we might have a bit of the advantage here because the 7 o'clock like Pacific time is 10 o'clock for them.
That's true.
Realistically, this is a late game for them. So I think we have a little bit of the advantage in that respect,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I feel like if the Ducks play to what we have seen, what almost won against Winnipeg, what has won us a couple games this season, right? Or has gotten us close against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I think we should be fine, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
I as much as Buffalo has young guys as well, and last year we were only a spot difference, right?
Yeah.
As much as they have the young guys or that, I think we have
the more experienced young guys. Is that kind of weird?
The more experienced young guys, the guys that are ready to do it now.
Yeah.
Right. That aren't rushed development wise. Because there's definitely a couple guys I think on Buffalo that, No, and the pandemic was weird for development just around the league, right? There's a lot of guys that got stunted because of it and stuff like that too. Buffalo definitely, I think, has a couple of those guys that could have used that year in the A or something like that, mm-hmm. or one more year in junior, but it was, okay, this is kind of your chance to play, actually. So here you're thrown right to the big dogs. And but I think we have guys that are ready to do it now and have shown that they're able to do it now. We didn't even touch on him today, but like Jamie Drysdale played 23 minutes the other night. Looked great. So
no complaints.
Just as an example though. But yeah, so I think just from that respect, and if we can play our game, I would think we have this one actually.
I would like to think so as well. I think with a lot of the teams Buffalo has played already this year too, they're like, oh, let's use Tampa Bay as the example, because I know they got shit kicked by Buffalo just the other day.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, but I think a big part of it is like, oh, we're Tampa Bay, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. That's Buffalo. Like, I think shit's bigger than the people on Buffalo. Like, that's probably what Kucherov is saying. I mean, he's not playing, but that's what
he's on the LTIR for 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, like that's just how it is. Like, you almost play down to that level, and Buffalo's like, okay, we got to play up to Tampa Bay's level. And then if Tampa's normally up here and Buffalo's down here, Buffalo's like, oh, I got to play up here. And then Tampa's like, oh, we can play down here. Like kind of in the middle, so we're still a little better than them. Well, now Buffalo's the better team. Mm-hmm. But I think we have the advantage here because it's like, oh, here's Buffalo and here's Anaheim. So
we need to play, but we know we can play well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we have a chance at this game because we can be the better team, and we're not going to underestimate Buffalo. We're kind of right here with them. So I think that gives us an advantage compared to some of the other teams that Buffalo's played as well. So I agree. Yeah. I think we can take this one. It might be close, but I really hope we can.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't want to dive too deep into Vegas, one, because we've been talking for quite a while, and we still have a couple more things to get out to. Mm-hmm. These guys are in our division, though, and you know, because it's Vegas, they do take up a lot of the headlines, so I'm sure people have the idea of what's going on and whatnot as well. I just have a note here as well that the Buffalo game is Thursday, so I guess if you're listening to the podcast as it came out, it's tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then on Friday, the Ducks are in Las Vegas for a 5 p.m. Pacific time start. And the reason that that game is so early, I was very confused by it, is because it's Nevada Day. So it's a holiday in Nevada, so people aren't going to work or anything like that. So that's why that game is so early. So basically, you're going to get home, you're going to turn on the television right away, have fun watching the game. So.
Yeah, you might even get to bed at it. I guess it's Friday. No one goes to bed at a decent time on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
If you work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think we need to spend too much time on Vegas. Do you think we take this one? Or?
I'm hoping so. I mean, I think we are actually ahead of them in the standings, which...
Yeah, Vegas has sucked to start the year. So.
I think we can.
Okay. So, I think so too.
Because Vegas is really hurting down the middle, whereas we're actually all right. We're pretty good right now down the middle. So that's an area where I think we can win it over. Mm-hmm. So,
and we've been actually decent on the second half of back to backs in recent memory. So I think we can still have a chance. So it's Stellars we trust.
I was gonna say, who do you think we start for either game?
You start Gibson for the first game.
And do you think so against Buffalo?
Yeah. If he gets the SO, then he plays both nights. Otherwise, you give Stellars a little bit more experience. And also, looking at the standings, you play Gibson against the better team, which...
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Never thought I would
say that for Buffalo. Say that for Buffalo,
especially in comparison to Vegas. But
yeah,
I just think you start Gibson for the first game.
So. Yeah, that's fair. So I had a wild theory as well because I think I brought it up really briefly on the last episode there. But it sounds like if a trade isn't made for Jack Eichel within the next 2 weeks, it sounds like the Eichel camp is going to file a grievance with the NHLPA. Wild theory here. Jack's going to hop the plane to Anaheim and join the team.
Pack his bags a little heavy. And
yeah, exactly. And hop on the plane.
One-way ticket. Here you go.
Yep. So that'd be nice.
It'd be cool. Yeah. We've seen it too. It happens quite frequently, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like with Calgary, I saw it last year with David Riddick because the plane with Calgary flew to Toronto and then he played against them that night.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly.
But
all right. I'll leave it up to you. What do you want to talk about next year?
Let's talk about Volkov quick and
Okay. So for those that didn't hear, Volkov was placed on unconditional waivers, which basically means his contract is going to be terminated. So he's going to the KHL, without a doubt. That's just what it means. So, Nate, you say poor asset management, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We gave up a prospect who...
is currently lighting up the AHL.
Yeah, exactly. And a 7th-round pick, which... normally, you don't really think too much of it, but the best way to describe draft picks is magic beans. You really don't know what you have an idea of what you're hoping to get, but you never fully know what you're going to be grabbing, right?
Yeah, outside the first round. And even then, there's a little bit of
luck
and hope and prayer involved.
But
after that, that's the best way to describe it is
magic beans. Yeah, you basically gave up a higher-ranked prospect because he was drafted in the 2nd round just like 3 years ago, I think. Like 2018, 2019?
I don't remember.
And another pick for 18 games of Volkov, where he put up 8 points in 18 games.
Which is decent,
For a team that, our top scorer had 32 points last year, and he's able to do that in a fraction of the time. Mm-hmm. Like Volkov was a guy that I would have liked to have in the lineup this season. I was upset to see him get sent down. And obviously, you know, it sounds like he doesn't want to be playing in the AHL, especially under a franchise like Anaheim. I don't like where he should be in this lineup, honestly.
Yeah.
The question is, like, I guess who you take out, but he's a guy that should fit in here, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is, in my opinion, this is really bad asset management. I don't know if I'm missing something here, but like, I don't understand this thought process by Bob Murray here, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
You're giving up at all. You're giving up a solid amount, we'll say, for 18 mm-hmm. games of a guy where you weren't making a playoff push or anything like that. If you were making a playoff push and you were going a few rounds deep, okay, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there is a cost to that. I totally get it. Yeah. But for, you know, finishing 30th in the league, that's not great asset management, in my opinion.
No, not at all. I don't have any sources on this. This is just from what I remember reading on Twitter. I don't even remember who posted it. It could have been a reliable source. It could not have been. But nonetheless, Volkov didn't make the team out of training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, if he showed up and played well, he would have made the team, I think. So because he didn't, yeah. I'd like to think he didn't put in the effort that was deemed necessary. So part of me wants to say this is on Volkov, but Volkov's still, I mean, he's an older prospect. I forget exactly kind of.
He's 24.
How young? So young because he hasn't played a lot in the NHL, but yeah. Also not young because he's mid-20s. That's our age. I was like putting the numbers together. Isn't that Kaprizov's age as well? Oh, Nate's frozen. I'm going to look up how old Kaprizov is because I believe he is also 24. Sorry, just give me a second here because, like I said, I want to make this connection. Either way, doesn't matter. Okay, we'll wait for my computer to figure it out. So, yeah, like, part of me wants to say this is on Volkov, but also, Kaprizov's 24. Okay, so Kaprizov and Volkov could be the same, right? We could have Volkov could have been the next Kaprizov. Unlikely, but it's not unusual for guys to break out around then. In my opinion, welcome back, Nate. I was just saying Kaprizov's also 24. So yes, we could have had the next Kaprizov, or Volkov could be the next Kaprizov. I didn't see that in him, but you never know. Part of me wants to say this is on Volkov for either not putting in the work in the offseason, not showing up for training camp, whatever. But for a guy that has very minimal NHL games in Volkov, I don't care how long he played in the KHL. It's not the same as the NHL. It's actually further than if he had played in the AHL. So I want to place more of the blame on management for not working with this guy to make him NHL ready. Like, 24 is still a young guy. Like, yes, part of it's on Volkov, but I'd say it's equally, let's just say it's equally on Dallas Eakins, the AHL coaching staff, the assistant coaches, Bob Murray, for not better managing this player and saying, okay, like, this is what you need to work on. Like, if you want to play in the NHL, like, you don't just get a roster spot because we traded another high prospect for you that is, or your age or whatever it is, right? Mm. Like, you got to put in the work. Like, we've seen that with players like Patrick Laine, Jesse Puljujärvi, just to name a couple off the top of my head there. So I agree with you that it's poor asset management by this team for not working with this player to show him what he needs to do, explain to him why he's being sent to the AHL, giving him things to work on, and then trying to give him a chance later on in the season.
Yeah, so exactly.
If Volkov wants to leave, fine, but it's pretty immature in my opinion, and I doubt he's going to get another NHL contract that way, but it's also on Eakins for letting this player walk and the rest of the management.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely don't think it looks good on Murray getting rid of what he did for 18 games.
No, that's you don't let that walk.
No,
you can't. So, you just can't. So it's unfortunate, but
yeah.
Another life another day in the life of an Anaheim fan.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one confused by that, though, when I saw that posted. Like, that's why I was like, am I missing something here? I don't think I was. So
Nope, not at all. But like I said, I place equal blame on Volkov as well.
Yeah, so fair enough.
So yeah, okay. Moving on here. Do you want to take this next part here? I think just because you had a really good way of wording it, I think. So
yeah, I can. We won't go into much discussion about this. There's definitely, you know, better sources to read up on or like listen to their reporting on it or that kind of thing. But we just want to put it out there because, you know, we believe in the right thing. Right. Between like with Carter and I, we believe in doing the right thing, not being a shitty human being and that kind of stuff. It was released today. The John Doe 1 in the Chicago Blackhawks sexual assault scandal and whatnot came forward today with who he was, Kyle Beach. And I just, you know, I want to say on behalf of Carter and I here at the Quack Report that Kyle and the other John Does who remain anonymous right now from their own choosing. So I really hope that nobody's like trying to dig up who they are. Right. Mm-hmm. If they're wanting to remain anonymous, I'm sure there's still a reason as to why, and let them come out if they want to and when they want to. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say on behalf of us that we stand with Kyle and those who still remain anonymous, who were affected by Aldridge, whether it be with Chicago, because there was also an intern as well after they had won the cup in 2010. There was a student as well. I don't think it was part of this, but there was a student as well at a college after the fact that stuff happened to as well. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting, honestly, is what it is.
Yeah.
And insanely wrong. And so I just want to say that, yeah, we stand with Kyle and those who remain anonymous.
As everybody else who has been affected by sexual assault.
But in this case at least, we stand with those guys. And to those who were involved with, you know, covering this up, not taking action as soon as it was brought up and whatnot, because you were wanting to win the championship in 2010 and whatnot, those who, you know, have stepped away in Stan Bowman, who was the GM at the time and was until just the other day. Those who are still in roles around the NHL, such as Kevin Cheveldayoff, Joel Quenneville, guys like that. Like we're talking some big name people here who helped cover this up even as to recently, right? Like Quenneville was saying, yeah, I didn't know anything about this until this summer. And it's like, okay, well, the facts say otherwise.
I'm excited for Gary Bettman to have a chat with those guys. I want to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, so. I'm not
I'll save
really
my judgment
sure
until then.
Go.
But yeah.
But anyway, anyone in management, in the coaching staff, even down to the players, who you know, it sounds like were chasing Beach around during practices. Calling him derogatory terms and asking him just wrong questions. Those of you who were the assholes in covering this up to save your own skins, I hope that you get the punishment that you deserve. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. I'm not trying to, you know, be ominous or anything like that, but these those people who covered this up, who were part of this taking 11 years to uncover, this should have been dealt with the day that it got brought up and not the team can't deal with this right now because we're trying to win a championship.
Yeah, it's disgusting, honestly.
It's wrong. And so, again, Kyle and the other John Does that are nameless right now, we stand with you guys. And though, obviously, we had nothing to do with it or that, we send our deepest condolences and wish you guys all the best. So,
yeah. I do want to say as well, there was it was on TSN, an interview with Kyle Beach. I'm sure there's gotta be another a way to watch it, or it's probably ad-free. It's like a 25-minute video. I was going to watch it TSN, before we
TSN
started recording.
TSN does have it out there, the full segment. So it is available online. You can easily find it, I'm sure, on YouTube or something like that.
I haven't watched it yet, but because I wouldn't have had time before the episode, but I'm definitely going to because I've already heard just how powerful that interview is. And I just want to say that it's out there with Kyle Beach, 25 minutes, take some time out of your day to go and watch it. That's all I got to say about that. So,
and I'm going to just throw this out here as well, just on my behalf, Carter, if you want to remain silent or do that, that's fine. There's no judgment here. If anybody just wants to talk to somebody, whether it be about something in regards to like something like sexual assault, or just you're even having a bad day mentally or something like that, know that the Quack Report DMs are open at Quack Report Pod, and my personal as well are open at Tate Namas. Feel free to message. All right.
Oh yeah. Like, mine too.
If it's easier for you to reach out to somebody that you don't really know face to face or something like that, my DMs are open. All right. I hold no judgment whatsoever. Feel free to reach out if you feel the need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Same for me as well. So whatever you need. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you want to add about this? I don't want to cut this segment short at all. So.
No, that's all I had to say. So,
okay. Sounds good. Okay. Let's lighten the mood back up for the last little bit here.
hard right turn, but
yeah, there's no segueing out of that. It's just gotta be, let's just get out of that. It's important to talk about, obviously, but let's finish things off with a very quick what's quacking here.
Yeah, let's do it. So what the fuck is this? Carter has something for us this week.
Yeah, it's wild. This is supposed to be when I sit back and just, you know, crack a beer off to the side and just my job's done here.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
It's this is a video I came across on Reddit the other day, just r/funny. I thought it was quite hilarious. Honestly, just the host reaction. I'll play the video and then talk about it after. But all right, it's so
what's the context? What are we looking at here?
It's a game show. So this is it's similar to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but everyone has English accents. So British Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That's not multiple choice.
All right.
In his epic poems, Homer often refers to nectar as the drink of the gods, and which other substance as their food?
I know we like donuts. I think I'll go with donuts, please, Ben.
Okay.
I have no idea the context.
Not talking about Homer Simpson.
Like, I don't know if this was like a $1 million question or like one of the basic easy ones or whatever, how this works, but oh man.
What makes it even funnier? Can you, okay, like he is so confident in his answer. Can you play it one more time?
Absolutely.
Again, this is another reason why to watch us on YouTube or that, like if we're showing a video or something like that, just like it adds another element. So, just show it one more time. You can see the confidence in his face, and you can also obviously you can hear it in his voice too, but just the confident look that he has. Can you play it one more time?
Yeah.
In his epic poems, Homer often refers to nectar as the drink of the gods, and which other substance as their food?
I know we like donuts. I think I'll go with donuts, please, Ben.
Okay.
And the host space as well, just like, this guy fucking serious right now?
Yeah, like my guess to the context of this is this guy's just fucking nailing the questions out of the park.
Yeah, just, and he's just like, oh, I got like, this one. Homer Simpson.
Like MLB All-Star Game, like the home run challenge, and he's just fucking slamming them. Constant home runs. Like, and then this guy's like, all right, fucking this guy's gonna have this question, and the guy's like, I know he likes donuts, and the guy's face just drops. He's like, oh no, he's thought of the wrong Homer.
I forget who the player was, but this is that gif of the guy who takes like the half court shot and turns around with his arms up before the shot goes in and it hits the rim. Like,
yeah.
This is the epitome of that tweet. Like of that gif. Oh my god, that is too good.
The slight pause too, where he's like, I know he likes donuts. And then it cuts to the host. And then the guy's like,
just look, so like, I'm good. What?
Yeah. And then the contestant is like, so I'm going to say, and then he pauses and you can tell he's like trying to read the host's face and be like,
yeah,
I think I'm off here. What am I missing? What's going on? Like, this guy's not giving me the right vibe. And then he's like, donuts. it's so funny. First of all,
okay. So I was trying to find what the actual food was though.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant though, because this is just filling up my Google search now.
Oh, really?
Like this clip. Yeah.
Did you ever read Percy Jackson as a kid?
Yes, I did. I love that series.
What did they eat to like give them life after like a hard battle? Like, what was like the powerful food? Do you remember?
What was it?
Because that's the answer to this question. So
I don't remember offhand, actually.
Oh, okay. It's fair. They were old books, so I don't blame you. But
what? Oh man, I want to say, like, for some reason I want to say it's grapes, but like that's not it.
No, it's ambrosia.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the that's the food. But
yeah, that's also a TV series in development that I'm excited for. I want that book series to be done justice on a screen, mm-hmm. because
I think they'll do it better with a
those TV movies series. Were not.
They didn't do it justice.
No, not at all. So yeah, those were great books. I love those books, and I would actually like to reread them, honestly. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I need to catch up on like all the other related series too, because those are apparently really good. So,
oh yeah, right. There's a bunch of like the spinoffs and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I think that'll be cool. So,
but yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I had for What's Quacking. I just thought that was so funny.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
I was
donuts.
Yeah, this was a pretty stressful week for me. And when I came across that, like, just scrolling through Reddit and like the 5 spare minutes I had, I watched it like probably 20 times.
It was so funny. That was perfect. Mm-hmm. So that's just what we needed, I think, to wrap up this episode.
I think so too. So, okay. Nate, as you said, your DMs are always open. Where can they reach you at?
Yeah, you can send me what else you think Homer's food of the gods was at Tate Nomas, TateNHomas.
As well at Quack Report Pod if you want to reach the both of us and get whoever you get. And myself at Carter_Pots, POTTS_97. Thank you guys very much for listening. It's been a pleasure talking at y'all. We hope you had fun as well. Thanks for listening, and go Ducks go.